You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
95BFM News Election Coverage 2020. Foreign Affairs.
Indeed, this week, as part of 95BFM's election policy and coverage, James Tapp and I talked to the Deputy Leader of the Opportunities Party, Shaina Vought, about all things immigration and trade. If you want to hear more of the Opportunities Party, as I said before, you can catch them on the BCast website. But if you want to hear them talking about trade and about climate refugees, you should continue listening right now. So James Tapp started off this interview by asking about TOP's refugee and immigration policy.
Okay, so when it comes to our refugee policy, we need to be looking after our Pacific neighbours, and we want to make sure that there is a framework in place that creates a new class of climate change refugees so that we are accepting those from Pacific Island countries, you know, specifically thinking of Kiribati and Tuvalu, and they are going to be experiencing massive overhaul in the next 10 to 15 years. And it is our responsibility and our obligation to provide them safe haven when that happens.
And so in your policy, you do talk a lot about having climate change refugees. What about other refugees that we have been accepting in the past from, say, war-torn countries?
Oh, definitely. We're not saying to reduce those numbers at all. We are global citizens and our obligation to the rest of the world will remain. But we must ensure that over and above that, we're really focusing on our closest Pacific neighbours, because it'll be New Zealand they will be turning to first, and we must be ready for that.
Okay, so by this same logic of being a global citizen and making sure that we're taking on climate change refugees, does this mean that New Zealand's going to have a larger obligation than other countries, even though if we might end up struggling more to take on more refugees because we are quite a small country?
We are a small country, but, you know, we have a huge role to play in the Pacific, and we have special relationships that we have already established, and we have to do our part. Other countries around the world will do their part as well. It is inevitable. And, you know, any countries with a lot of coastline will be dealing with this in their own ways anyway, as will we. But what's been really missing as part of the climate change conversation has been going is a huge focus on the need to reduce emissions, which is incredibly important. But we must be talking about adaptation as well.
I'm just going to jump in. I've got two questions on that note. You mentioned the term obligation to accept refugees. Is that how TOP sees it, or do you have a desire to bring in refugees as well?
Oh, well, I guess it's a bit of both. I mean, we do have an obligation. You know, in some ways we've contributed to issues they face. And so, yeah, it is an obligation.
Right, and I was looking at the refugee policy, and it's done on a per capita basis. I assume, or the way that I read it, it means that as New Zealand's population grows, we take in more refugees. Is that correct? And can you explain why you and TOP have gone with this model?
You know, you look at our rates that we have, and compared to many countries around the world, we actually have a low level of refugee quota per capita. So we just need to be constantly reviewing to make sure that we are doing our part, to make sure that we are increasing the numbers that we need to. You know, this is the refugees who come here are coming here because they don't have a choice, and yet they come here and make such an incredible go of their new life and can add so many wonderful things to our country. And so we really need to be doing everything we can in that space to meet those obligations. And, yeah, look, figuring out where the numbers sit will be an ongoing process that we need to be reviewing each and every year, really.
On a similar note, in regards to immigration, I was looking through the immigration policy, and I'll get you to explain it in a little bit. But you noted how everyone has something wonderful to contribute to New Zealand. TOP's immigration policy is largely focused around high-earning immigrants and bringing them into the country. Does this, and this isn't a value judgment, it's purely based, I'm just trying to understand the policy, does this policy kind of understate that top C, the only valid contribution for immigrants in our country, as economic, and that there isn't perhaps other alternative values and contributions that they can make?
No, of course immigrants come here and bring many incredible things to our country in terms of culture and food and wonderful things. Immigration is a great thing for any country. The impact, however, of bringing in workers who have been filling those low-pay, low-skilled jobs is that typically they're in industries that are getting exploited, where employers are driving down wages, which drives down wages for all Kiwis. And those are low-skilled jobs that New Zealanders could be going into at a time when our unemployment numbers are going to continue to rise for some time.
Do you think that perhaps better regulations around employers dropping wages is more of a solution than not allowing immigrants in? Is this an immigrant's fault that the wages are being dropped?
Oh, it is not immigrants' fault at all. Not at all. But the problem is there's been a lack of planning, there's been a lack of foresight, and the impact of bringing in workers to those low-skilled jobs has kept Kiwis out of jobs that they could fulfil.
Right, and so we've just seen a new categorisation of visas introduced in Aotearoa, in particular relation to fruit picking, if I'm not mistaken, which is a kind of classic example of a low-skilled job, that alongside something like dishwashing. We often don't see a lot of competition from New Zealanders going for those roles, hence why we've had to reopen or recategorise visas. What does something like that mean in terms of the discussion around competition for low-skilled jobs in New Zealand?
Well, there's a couple of things I would say around that. One, they have been keeping the pay so low, and so it's really difficult for New Zealanders to justify doing those, especially because it is seasonal work. And so a number of those types of workers, Kiwi workers, are beneficiaries. And so it doesn't make sense for them financially to take on that work because they wouldn't be better off because of this huge welfare trap in our current system. Seasonal workers would set to be one of the big winners from TOP's universal basic income policy, actually, because it removes the welfare trap and then would support Kiwis into doing seasonal work. And so we wouldn't see this as such a big problem that it is right now.
Right, and just a question around the UBI, because we've touched on it briefly, but that would only be applicable or given to New Zealand citizens and or residents, yes?
That's the idea so far, but there is a lot of work to be done in that space to figure out equity and how we can ensure that we have a true fair system for everyone.
Right, because I guess one of the things as well with immigration is if we want immigrants to contribute to a local economy and they can't get certain jobs, would the UBI help support people who have immigrated to New Zealand introduce money into our local economy?
Yeah, and again, that is an area that we would need to explore to figure out how the UBI can be implemented in the fairest way possible. But again, the whole point of that aspect of our immigration policy when we're talking about low-skilled, low-wage jobs is because we can bring in high-skilled immigrants. We are still going to have a huge skill shortage in certain areas, and we need to make sure that we're really focusing and targeting our immigration into those areas. We want to be a country with skills and want to live.
I've just got a question on that one. With the high-skilled immigrants, why should they choose New Zealand?
We've always been a desirable location because of our beautiful, clean, green image that the rest of the world sees us as. And we're seen as a low-corrupt nation. We are seen as a friendly and peaceful nation. There have always been many, many things that draw people here. And currently, in this COVID world, that is only going to ramp up so much more. And, you know, you see this from Americans in particular during the presidential debate, how to move to New Zealand was one of the highest Googled things. So, look, we will always be a very desirable nation. It's just, ensuring that we are growing the right industries that are going to grow our economy and bring in the skills that we need.
One argument for bringing in high-skilled workers or high-earning workers, which I think is perhaps a more suitable phrasing, is that they contribute more in tax dollar to New Zealand. We've seen roughly two-thirds of New Zealand's richest people not paying the top personal tax rate or avoiding that. And we've seen similar things with overseas schemes and overseas businesses and overseas nationals who have come to New Zealand. I just wanted to know how you saw a solution to that kind of hole that is created when they can come to New Zealand and all their money goes offshore. Is it still the most viable thing to bring money into the New Zealand economy?
Again, it's not necessarily so much the money that they bring, it's the skills that they bring that our businesses need that grows our economy.
So just quickly again, so then why do you top see skills as kind of not necessarily see, I think that's perhaps the wrong word. Why are we categorizing or equating high skilled and high earning in this case?
We need to have a thriving economy that works for everyone. You know, when we're talking about these migrants that have come in and they come in, these new New Zealanders, and they work incredibly hard, but they are also sadly, they're the ones who have been disproportionately discriminated in unfair work environments. They're the ones who are getting exploited. And so we need to address that as well. That is actually getting built into our policy as well, this real focus of, back to your question before, targeting those employers who are exploiting employees. And Immigration New Zealand has actually made some progress in that area, increasing investigations into those types of employers, which is good, and we want to see that continue. They're not only breaching immigration law, they're breaching employment law. So there is a huge amount of work that needs to be done. But overall, when we want to grow our economy and we want everyone to do well, everyone needs their place. And that goes for Kiwis as well. So it's just all about making sure that everyone who is going to be within in this country has something to contribute.
Okay, so we've been talking a lot about immigration policy, and then we're going to move on to what are TOP's plans when it comes to New Zealand's trade deals and trading with other countries around the world, especially in the situation we've got now with COVID?
Yeah, and we are a dependent nation on commodities and rely heavily on just a few markets, right? So this is not an area that TOP has developed formal policy on, and it's something we would look to do in the future. But when we look at sort of our exports, have obviously traditionally been in agriculture and tourism, and with this COVID world, we're going to have this huge tourism reset.
Sorry to interrupt and jump in. Is there a reason why TOP hasn't necessarily established solid or concrete foreign policy in terms of trade?
Yes, because we're focused on the biggest issues that when it comes to the foundations of our whole society. We're focused on ensuring that we have affordable housing for everyone. We want to have a simple, fair and modern tax system. Our focus has been on these other really big fundamental areas that other parties have ignored. And so when it comes to foreign policy in terms of foreign affairs and trade, that hasn't been top priority. We're also a group of volunteers, and so we rely on whoever comes forward with the right skill set to develop a policy in an area of their expertise.
I was going to say, shouldn't foreign policy be an uttermost priority for New Zealand when we're a little island nation in the corner of the world that completely relies on our trade deals around the world? If we don't have those trade deals, how are we going to get money coming into the economy so that we can be building this affordable housing?
There are so many things that we can do to work smarter, not harder, within the framework of what we've already got. With developing industries, growing our innovation sector is a huge one, for example, and we do have an innovation policy, and that's all about supporting the sector to make sure we can commercialise it in New Zealand instead of losing all the IP that currently goes overseas because we just don't have the funding and the framework and the skills to develop these new ideas in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.